live at AsylumFantasySports.com. It is the technically sound Sunday morning inside slant.
Yeah, it's a great morning.
All right, Rick is having some serious computer issues. I am going to launch the chat here. We're going to do the show ever forward. Week 5 is upon us, Rick. Forget that. I'm in the chat room. I'll take care of this from here. So, wow, here we go, Rick. Big week here. Mikel, he's gone. Frank, he stinks. So, hey, if you want to be the producer of the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, let's just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, why not? Send in your questions, asylumfantasyfootball@gmail.com, asylumfantasysports@gmail.com, and I am going to smash something.
Something, anything. So I'll carry the show here while Hulk smash over there. So get those questions in on Twitter at Asylum Football. And, of course, in the chat room, we'll answer them all. Also, give us a call, 646-478-4679. Let's jump right into it, Rick, before the questions start coming in. Of course, we'll have Scott Fish in the 11 o'clock hour to go through the mailbag. And, you're distracting the hell out of me over there, Rick. You really are. I don't know what's going on. So they're jumping
because
out of
you always profess that you don't have the patience for this, but I really don't. You didn't say you don't.
They're already logging out of the chat room. It's a disaster. We just alienated a couple of listeners right there. So let's jump right into it, Rick. Take a look at some headlines. And what has become probably the least shocking news every week, Calvin Johnson didn't practice at all. Looks like he's good to go this week. Although I wonder, you know, is it affecting him? He's had a couple good weeks. He had a bad week last week. You wonder if these injuries are starting to creep up on him a little bit.
I don't know. It seems to be about the status quo with him. He'll play and he'll go out and probably get 130 yards today. I have no worries with him unless he's out, quite frankly.
Right. And so looking like he's good to go, there was never really any doubt in my mind, although it seemed to be the big headline. This one I find interesting, Rick, not for this week, but for going forward. Let's take a look at, finally, Odell Beckham seems to have that hamstring straightened out. If he can maintain it, is my biggest concern. Obviously not a play this week, but the way this Giants offense is rolling a little bit, are we going to come upon a time here fairly soon where we think Odell Beckham becomes fantasy relevant? We had on the Fantasy Sports Network show Wednesday, we had former Baltimore Raven Patrick Johnson on, talked about a lot of rookie wide receivers, didn't get a chance to get into Odell Beckham at all. This guy intrigues me. You see Victor Cruz get it going a little bit. You see what the tight ends are doing there, Donnell. You wonder, good Eli is here, and he tends to be here in the fall before December hits. I wonder if Odell Beckham's a guy, he's probably on a lot of waiver wires, he's missed so much time. Is this a guy a pickup, maybe a stash? You think you expect anything from him?
I think if you have somebody to dump and you want to pick him up, go for it. But, I mean, you have to see something from him before I'm going to go out and get him. I mean, he's had so little playing time, I don't know how relevant he's going to be.
Right.
I mean, I like the kid, don't get me wrong.
And that's it. So you stash him away. They're obviously going to be cautious with him. Rick, we got our first call on the line today at 646-478-4679. Area code 732. Good morning.
Hello?
Hey, is this Alex?
Yes, this is Alex.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. I just have a question.
All right.
Do you think I should start AJ Green because he's going against Darrell Revis?
Oh, well, that depends, Alex. Who else would you play if you weren't going to play AJ Green?
Sammy Watkins.
Oh. What do you think, Rick? I think I'm still going A.J. Green. Darrell Revis scares me, but this isn't Darrell Revis of 4 or 5 years ago. This is Darrell Revis of now. I think A.J. Green still gets his.
Yeah, Alex. A.J. Green is one of these kind of guys. It's the old saying, you know, you play your studs until they're out. I mean, this guy is your top wide receiver, no question about that. And you have to get him in there. I think there's no – unless he's hurt, he plays.
Okay. What about Kelvin Benjamin or DeSean Jackson?
Ooh, I really like Kelvin Benjamin. there, Alex. This guy's become an every week start for me. He's in the top 12 right now. Right now, I think fantasy scoring, if I'm not mistaken, Rick, he's a number one fantasy wide receiver, or very close to it. Maybe not fantasy, but NFL in terms of receptions and yardage. Kelvin Benjamin, I think, is becoming an every week start. DeSean Jackson, what I don't like about him is you're always hoping for the big play. You got to get that 60 or 70 yard touchdown. Benjamin's really the only game in town there, Alex. So I think you plug him in pretty much every week and feel good about it.
Yeah, let's not forget that D-Jax is also going against Seattle today.
Yeah, don't want to do that.
And, you know, I think Seattle could be moved on. And, you know, I know they say, well, they're not a movable. We can beat Seattle. But Washington, I do not believe, is going to beat Seattle.
No.
I think it's going to be a pretty rough day for DeSean Jackson.
I have one more question.
All right.
Cam Newton versus Chicago or Ben Roethlisberger versus Jacksonville?
Oh, boy. I'd love to get Cam Newton in, and Chicago's defense isn't the monsters of the Midway they used to be. And I'm not buying into the Steelers, but with the weapons Ben Roethlisberger has with him, Rick, and as bad as that Jacksonville team is, I think you play Ben Roethlisberger here. He scares me. For some reason, I got a bad feeling about today. But Cam Newton's been a disappointment, and I'm going to go ahead and roll with Ben.
I'm going with Ben, too. Look, Pittsburgh's playing bad. They lost to Tampa last week, but it really wasn't Ben's fault. He had 300-some yards, and Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, and Le'Veon Bell, they all had good fantasy days. Jacksonville's defense is terrible. Would it shock me if Pittsburgh found a way to lose to Jacksonville? No, but not because of Roethlisberger. I think it would be because of the aging defense, and they're banged up. So, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, to me, he's almost a must start now.
Probably. I think, especially when the matchup's right, unless he's facing a Cincinnati or Baltimore, we can talk about it. But, yeah, roll with Ben this week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you. Good luck this week, Alex.
Good luck, Alex.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, Rick, let's move on. We got some stuff in the chat room here. First one, PPR, Ivory, Vereen, Ridley, Gerhardt, Reggie Bush, pick two. So I'm going to go. He's over there stewing. This is a lot of fun here.
No, I was thinking about trying to make sure that I got all the players here.
All right. For me, Bush is number one on that list. And, you know, I throw, as bad as that Steelers run defense is, I got to throw Gerhardt out. I'm just done on him. You know, it's Ridley, Vereen, you know, toss a coin, flip a coin there. I think it might be Chris Ivory. Chris Johnson's role in that offense has dissipated. Ivory getting the goal line touches, getting equal touches. In a PPR format, he's not as attractive. I think I'm going with Bush and Ivory here, just what I feel safe with.
Yeah, Ivory I do agree with. And who was it? It was Bush, Ivory, Gerhardt, and what was the other
Vereen one? And Ridley.
Oh,
so
yeah,
pick your
Vereen.
Poison with that offense.
New England scares me to death. I mean, the offense is horrifying. And, I mean, thus far, and I just can't go with them. There's no question about that. I'm going to have to go with you, Ivory and Bush. I'd like Gerhardt, as bad as the Steeler run defense is. I think he's going to get some garbage point today, and I wouldn't surprise me Jacksonville puts 20 on this defense.
They may, but, boy, I don't want to. Yeah, I think I know what I'm going to get out of Ivory. I don't know what I'm getting out of those other three. There's probably more upside with either a Vereen or a Ridley, but I just don't know which one it's going to be this week. If it's going to be either, this is a gutless move by me. It's for me, it's Ivory just because I'm gutless. That's what I'm going to go with there.
Oh, and he's certainly getting the bulk of the carries. He had way more work than Johnson did last week. Although, you know, Johnson broke that, I think it was 35-yard touchdown,
right,
which gave him some fantasy points, but he's not getting the work.
No, and he's not going to be that guy this year. So let's jump in. Boy, I don't know how you do this, Rick. This chat room moves fast here. Forsett or Gerhardt in a PPR? Good Lord. And a lot of Gerhardt questions. For me, Rick, I'm going to go with Forsett. I think he's going to have at least more opportunities. He's not the only game in town there, but Gerhardt's just that bad. It's going to take a lot more desperate situation than Justin Forsett for me to ever recommend Toby Gerhardt, even against this awful Steelers defense.
Yeah, and let's face it, the Bernard Pierce, he was active last week and didn't even play. And, I mean, Forsett seems to be the guy right now, Baltimore. So, yeah, I'm going with Forsett. I don't even think it's close, really.
Okay, let's slide down here a little bit, Rick. Sankey, Ellington, Gerhardt, Edelman need two in a non-PPR. So, boy, I think Ellington probably number one there pretty easily. They got a tough little matchup there, but I like Ellington. You know, again with the Gerhardt, throw him out. You know, Sankey's awful. Maybe even in a non-PPR, I'll take Edelman just because he's the only offensive weapon Tom Brady seems to be utilizing right now. I know you lose a lot in not having PPR, but he's going to have his 60, 70 yards. Maybe you hope he finds a touchdown there. I can't recommend Sankey, and we all know how I feel about Toby Gerhardt.
Now, we'll get into Sankey in a little bit. I think this is a guy that's on the rise, no question about that. But Edelman's right now a proven commodity, especially in PPR. And I'm going to have to agree with you. Man, I hate that, but I'm agreeing with you.
Why do you hate that? That's no fun right there. Sliding down here again, Rick, we'll stick with it. Rolling good here. Sankey or Niles Davis? Ooh. All right, so obviously,
I tell you
Rick,
what.
Take a minute. You have some thoughts on Bishop Sankey that I clearly don't. Why don't you jump on that?
Okay, well, I actually have him on my watch list, and I'll just kind of spill the beans early. I have, you know, watching Bishop Sankey, let's face it, right now, Cleveland is giving up the most fantasy points to running backs, and I know they're coming off a bye week, and that's sometimes a little dangerous. But his workload, Bishop Sankey, I'm talking about, his workload is on the rise. Look, Sean Green, he's fading away. And, you know,
as he well should.
Right. And, you know, I think Bishop Sankey in deep leagues, maybe 14-team league, I think Bishop Sankey is actually a start today.
Wow.
So, you know, that's why I put him on my watch list in the standard, you know, 10 to 12, maybe not quite. But I think I'm going Sankey in this instance.
Wow, you have a lot more faith in him than I do, but it's hard to argue. Nile Davis, I went on and on last Sunday. I went on Wednesday on both shows, or I guess Thursday now, both shows on Thursday, that I think we have a Ricky Williams slash Brown situation going there. I think he's going to have value. I think he's going to get equal carries to Jamaal Charles. Right now he's averaging 6 yards a carry when he gets the ball. Now you see Jamaal Charles obviously got all the goal line work and managed to find the end zone and was still big in the pass game. There's risk there. They got a tough matchup this week. If you feel that good about Sankey, I'll roll with it this week. But I got to tell you, I still believe going forward until I know that Jamaal Charles has a clear bill of health, I'm still comfortable with starting Nile Davis in a flex spot week in and week out. But I'll give you Sankey this week. We'll play along.
Well, I mean, you know, you have... You know, they don't have a great matchup either at San Francisco, although San Francisco, you know, they want Harbaugh out. The players hate everything. They're still 2-2, and they came together last week. Kansas City both look – I just think this is kind of a – it's kind of a tough matchup. I mean, you may see Nile Davis getting more work, but I tell you what, Charles sure looked good last week, and I don't think there's anything to indicate that that ankle's bad. And I think Nile Davis' workload is going to go back a little bit.
My thing there, though, is if Nile Davis is succeeding to the level he's been succeeding, when he took over for Charles a couple weeks ago when he got hurt mid-game, the game he started, even last week, if you're Andy Reid, for what reason would you ever consider backing off of Nile Davis? Why wouldn't you use this weapon and continue to use this weapon? I don't think you're going to see a circumstance where Jamaal Charles is going to get 30 carries. It's not going to happen. As long as Davis is doing what he's doing, he's going to get his work. And right now, he is making the most of every touch he gets. That's where I think he's still playable, irregardless of what Jamaal Charles is doing. Now, in this case, if you feel Sankey is going to get that work, and this might be the week. Maybe this is the week finally Sean Green fades to the background. Bishop Sankey becomes who we thought he was going to be in the preseason. It very well could be right, but I'm not dismissing Nile Davis offhand, you know, depending on the matchup, but I'd still feel good about getting Nile Davis in a flex spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against what Nile Davis has done. And, yeah, I can't fault anybody for throwing him in your lineup. I have to be honest with you, but like I said, you know, got Bishop Sankey on my watch list this week. They're at home. Cleveland does give up the most fantasy points to running backs. And I think Sean Green's starting to fade away. I'm hoping so.
Right.
For Bishop Sankey's sake and owners of Bishop Sankey.
And your fantasy teams, because you own Bishop Sankey and more than
well,
one.
Well, I have. And he hasn't started yet.
Right.
He has not started yet.
All right, Rick, let's jump back in the chat room here. We need two in a non-PPR. Ooh, this is a tough one. Vincent Jackson, Julian Edelman, your boy Marcus Colston, and a guy we talked a lot about on Thursday, Rick, Eddie Royal.
Vincent Jackson certainly against New Orleans. With Mike Glennon in there, I think they had a pretty good chemistry last year. And, I mean, you know, Vincent Jackson come off a good year. Glennon now is a lot more comfortable. Hey, look, he took that team on his shoulders last week, albeit against a bad defense. You know, but New Orleans defenses haven't been lighting it up either. So I can see Vincent Jackson, albeit unceremonious so far this
right.
year, could what you're used to Vincent Jackson. I think he's in there. You have to put him in there. And who are the other ones running the
Edelman, down? Colston, and Royal, non-PPR.
Royal.
Yeah.
What he's done with San Diego right now, and they're at home, you know, against the Jets, pretty good defense. I think he still has a good shot at the red zone touchdowns. Edelman scares me. I mean, New England's offense is bad, and they're going against a very good defense with Cincinnati. So I think if there's red zone opportunities, it's Gronk. It's,
right.
You know, maybe handing off to a Breen or Ridley down close to the goal line. I just don't think Edelman's the guy.
Right. In this case, the PPR is going to factor in for me, and that's what's going to take Edelman out. Royal was my first thought, too, and that seems to be the consensus in the chat room. The concern with him is it's always about scoring touchdowns for him. He has to score a touchdown. He's not going to have 9 grabs for 120
right.
yards. You're having to get into the end zone. And he went on that run last year, and he's in the middle of that run this year. This seems to be what Eddie Royal does, and it if last year's any indication, at some point somebody's going to figure out how to take that away. I don't know if this is the week. I'm going to lean Royal here because of that and because of my distrust for Marcus Colston, but I think at home those Saints are going off this week. They're just too good to keep losing games. I think they're going off this week. At home, I like Colston a lot better. So if you're feeling froggy, it's definitely V-Jax. If you're feeling froggy, I'd roll Colston this week. But Eddie Royal's probably the safer play, so I'll lean your way that way in terms of safety because Marcus Colston is such a huge risk. But recommend sitting him, Rick, he catches 9 for $140 and a touch. That's what he does.
Exactly, and if you recommend starting him, he has 2 catches for 10 yards.
Bingo.
And,
or he takes the goose egg like he did a couple weeks ago, and
exactly.
I believe I'd recommended him 2 or 3 times.
And that's why I really can't recommend. You notice I didn't even mention him when I went through. I'd mentioned Royal, and I mentioned Jackson.
Yeah, you didn't even talk about
Edelman.
He angers you to the point you didn't even talk about.
They're just, I can't. I mean, it's like you said, it's a double-edged sword. You don't feel comfortable recommend sitting him. You know, you say, well, you know, I recommend sitting Marquise Colston this week. Well, then he'll go off. But if you recommend starting him, it's such a hit and miss with New Orleans. I really hate to include any Saints, really, other than Breeze, Graham, and Pierre Thomas, like in a flex spot, something like that.
Right.
Because the wide receivers drive me crazy.
Oh, they do. And we have another one of those in the chat room, Rick, we'll get to. But let's get to the phone lines. Area code 860, as I hit the wrong button. There we go, 860. How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's up, guys? Dean from Connecticut talking
There's
to you.
How you doing, Dean?
I'm doing good because I benched Cordarrelle Patterson.
We have some questions about him later, I think. That's a good move. He is scary. I'm getting real nervous about him. This is a guy I went all in the beginning of the year.
Right. Hey, you know, I got a question for you guys. I need you to pick 3 receivers here. A couple weeks ago, a guy in our league, he dropped Victor Cruz, I think week 2. I picked him up. Now, who would you start out of these 3 today? I missed the first 3 minutes of the show. I don't know if you talked about Calvin. Out of these 4, who can you pick 3? Calvin, Antonio Brown. I think Antonio Brown's a must-go. Antonio Brown, Calvin, Emmanuel Sanders, or Victor Cruz?
Wow, that's a nice little decision to have.
Antonio Brown is definitely a must-start. Calvin, to me, until he's out, is a must-start.
Yeah,
so there's two of them right there.
Reports out of Detroit are he is going to play today, and he's also told in the chat room he told teammates he was playing. So, yeah, if he's on the field, as gimpy as he is, I don't think he can ever sit him, Rick.
No, and then now you're down to Sanders at home against a pretty good Arizona defense. And then you have Victor Cruz, who you just mentioned, you just picked up off the waiver wire, which, you know, nice move. They're at home against Atlanta. It's hard to bench either one of them right now. But, okay, you got two questions. You're going to get good Eli, you're going to get bad Eli. You got a pretty nice matchup with that Atlanta defense, I think.
Yeah.
And then again, now
second worst pass defense in the league.
Exactly. Right now. Now you're talking Manny Sanders, who is you're standard, right? You're not PPR, correct?
Yeah, this one's standard.
I think I would roll with Cruz because I think you have a better shot at end zone catches with Victor Cruz than you do with Sanders. There's so many options with Peyton Manning. Of course, he loves Julius Thomas and Demaryius. It needs to start picking up a little bit. I think you have a better shot with Cruz.
I agree. That Atlanta team, if Atlanta was at home, that's a different story. That's a home and away situation that has developed. Atlanta is two totally different teams. I think New York rolls a little bit here. I think Eli has a big week. I like Victor Cruz as much as I hate sitting Emmanuel Sanders. In a PPR format, he's almost reminding me, Rick, of a Julian Edelman a little bit. You're not seeing huge yardage games. You're certainly not seeing a lot of touchdowns, but he's a big part of the offense, getting a lot of grabs. But here, based on the matchup with Atlanta on the road in New York, I'm going to go Victor Cruz.
Yeah,
play the hot hand. That's what I want to do.
Manny Sanders almost, to me, if you think about it, has taken the role that we thought Wes Welker would in that offense. A lot of catches, you know, not huge amount of yards. I mean, he doesn't really feel the bill like Decker did last year. He's almost like what we thought Welker was going to
He's
be.
He's filling that Welker role in that offense. So, yeah, Calvin, it makes me nervous. He had a bad week last week. He's nicked up Antonio Brown. He's the best receiver in the league as far as I'm concerned. And Victor Cruz, that's the direction I'm going to go. And big stinky sock to the guy who dropped him.
All right. That's sweet. Hey, guys, in that same league, I was a victim of Rudolph. So I got Kelce and Donnell. Which one of those tight ends would you play?
Oh, man.
I tell you, you got two really nice options there. Kelce has just emerged as a real nice go-to guy for Alex Smith. With the way the run game's going, Dwayne Bowe's actually woken up a little bit. Whether that stays, I don't know. But Donnell, man, I'll tell you what, I think going to what Rick says, you ride the hot hand. And especially when you're in a standard format, Eli loves going to the tight end in the red zone. So, I mean, I think you actually have two really good touchdown options. You know, you look at New York, you're starting to get some pretty nice.
Right.
You got Rashad Jennings having a really nice year. Now Cruz is alive and Donnell. I'm going Donnell.
Yeah.
I hate to put all eggs in one basket, so to speak, but.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. My at first blush, it was Kelce, but to go back to the point where we're talking about Victor Cruz, I think the Giants score a lot of points today, and when they get down in the red zone, it's going to be Donnell. You know, that Chiefs offense, as much as it's rolling, just isn't as dynamic. So, yeah, getting back to the point, play the hot hand. It's just as likely Donnell goes out and has two catches this week. But there's a good chance there. Also, they're both going the end zone. So roll with that hot hand, and I think probably an upgrade over Rudolph. I have a pretty similar situation in a couple leagues, and almost a blessing in disguise that Rudolph's gone out.
Okay, man. Thanks for the info, guys. I think during that Giants game, I'll be playing some Megadeth, Sweating Bullets, while I'm watching that.
Yeah, you might not want to watch that game. Pick a nice, easy one like Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, or something, and just look at the scores later.
Oh, no, I got that NFL ticket. I watch 8 games at a time.
That's the only way to do it.
Okay, man. You guys, hope you win this week.
All right, yeah. Good luck this week, Dean. Good to hear from you. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Dean.
All right, Rick. Let's jump back in here. We have a couple more. Here, pick one of these, Rick. This is a tough one as you talk about the New Orleans running backs, and I know you talked about Ben Tate a lot on Thursday. Pick one. Cooks, Tate, or your boy Brian Quick, you bring him up a lot too. This is like a Sophie's choice for you.
Quick. Now, is this PPR?
No, I don't remember. Let me spin back up here.
Quick, Tate, and who was the other one?
Quick, Tate, or Brandon Cooks.
Well, I tell you what. Okay, I'm not, you know, New Orleans drives me crazy. I love Brandon Cooks. I tell you what. Coming off a bye, I think I'm going Quick.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to have to think about this one, talk myself through this one, as I tend to do sometimes. So, Cooks, he had that nice first week, and like many New Orleans receivers, and he's disappeared for a little bit, and he'll poke his head back up. He's a big risk. Tate, I'm going to have to see it. I like what Terrence West did. I can never remember the other kid's name there.
Crowell.
I like what he did. Tate's not coming in right now and getting 18, 19, 20 carries. It's simply not going to happen this week.
And as soon as you say that, he'll have 32 carries for 140 yards. That's not going to happen with that Cleveland offense, I don't believe.
It doesn't need to. And Tennessee's not bad defensively. You worry about them offensively. It's a middle-of-the-road defense. But I think that ball is going to get spread out. Why rush Tate back? You know what? I tend to agree, Rick. I think it's Quick. He's got the rapport with the
Golden
young...
Tate. As you can see, I am in the chat room.
Oh, Golden Tate. Oh, you're in. Tate. Oh, good. I can quit paying attention to that damn thing then. That drives me nuts. I don't know how you do that every week. So,
it's fun. I enjoy the interaction.
Oh, Golden Tate's so interesting to me, especially with Calvin nicked up. Had a nice little week last week, but if I'm not mistaken, he's a little nicked up too, isn't he? Or am I completely making that up?
You know, with my computer troubles, I haven't pulled up a whole lot of stuff today. I'm lucky I got into the chat room. But, you know, Golden Tate, it's interesting. But, you know, Detroit's offense has been If you know,
yeah, he's got a hamstring. He's expected to go, but he's got a hamstring.
And, you know, Buffalo's defense, I know they're playing at Detroit. Buffalo's defense, say what you will, it's not bad. And especially against the run, and I don't know, hamstrings. Calvin says he's going to play.
Right.
I tell you what, I'm still staying with Quick.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I can't believe I'm sitting here on a fantasy podcast giving fantasy advice on Sunday morning at 10:27 a.m. and recommending Brian Quick, but he has the rapport with the young quarterback. I'm going to agree; he's probably the safest option. Not going to be a lot of offensive production out of that team, but anytime there is, it's him. He's the guy, so I'm going to do it. And that seemed to be the consensus in the chat room as well. Quick seems to be the way everybody's rolling.
There you go. Oh, I'm the chat room now. Sorry,
all right, we had
that.
One more. Hyde or Ridley in a non-PPR, one I had jotted down.
Ridley.
Yeah.
Ridley.
Yeah. Frank Gore won't go away. He won't
do it.
You,
I'm telling you. I said it on last week's show. Start Frank Gore until he retires.
Was it Frank Gore that got compared to Ebola in the last show, or who was
it? I'm not sure.
Don't you remember that? We had a bit of an Ebola conversation, if you missed that.
All right, there we go. So
I think we're all caught up, Rick. We did have one most likely to happen today, me setting something on fire, Frank screwing everything up, or one of your mustache whiskers falling into the equipment and sending it in. That could lean into a fire as well. So Frank already messed something up. He's got your computer messed up. Everything's all jacked up today. So while he's in the bathroom, Frank's got to go.
Yeah.
Well, like now.
Yeah.
Have your wife fire him. Let's go to the bar and have your wife fire him.
I don't know. Even the dog's afraid of him. She's a big German Shepherd. So I don't know. Frank's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, well, I agree, but he's certainly got to go. All right, Rick, well, we got a lull in the action here. I think we're all caught up. We're here from Big Tex, our roving reporter. He's back this week reporting from Indy in ESPN's Lindsey Zarniak. Rick, have you seen Ms. Zarniak?
Don't tell me it's a silly goose and a good egg and all this kind of stuff.
Good egg right there. She's something. But Ravens are planning on using all three of their running backs today. Talaferro's an interesting guy, too. I'm going to have to wait and see how this shakes out. Unless you have Forsett Gerhardt like that question, I'm still going to trust Forsett. But that's getting a little muddled back there. It's getting a little scary in that Ravens backfield.
Yeah, it is. And it's strange, you know, the Jacksonville's offense. I think when you get back into that, it's which is worse, the Jacksonville offense or the Pittsburgh defense? And, you know, I had a brief conversation this past week on Twitter. I think it was, who was it? I think Pamela Michelle, we were talking back and forth, or somebody, anyway, about Gerhardt. You know, the Pittsburgh D is so bad, and, you know, she's had him on quite a few squads, and, you know, she refers to him as stumbling backwards into end zones.
Well,
know,
yeah.
And that's basically what he's been doing. But Pittsburgh can't even stop a stumbler. And, you know, as of late, other than Carolina, I mean, they've shown nothing defensively.
Right.
So there's that fear in the back of my head that Gerhardt could actually get some points today. And even if it's second half garbage points, then it may not even be garbage points today. Who knows? It may be a competitive game.
It scares me that it may well be, Rick. So, we had one on Twitter here. Well, I'm going to hand you that. Have yourself a gander at Lindsay Zarniak while I look at the question we had on Twitter here. It was, where did I write it down? In a PPR league, Justin Forsett or CJ Spiller? We haven't had a lot of Spiller questions this year. I think everybody's finally punted on him officially.
But I'm going Spiller.
Yeah, with that news that my girl there, that you're now your tongue's hanging out of your mouth looking at, I think Talavero, he's going to get himself some work. And C.J. Spiller, he's done what you'd expect of him. But in a PPR format, especially if you're talking a flex somewhere down along that line, I think he has some value there. I think you trust him. Forsett could go out. If I knew he was getting the goal line carries, I might lean Forsett. Not sure he's going to be a big part of the pass game, so I'm going to go ahead and go with C.J. Spiller right there. So I think, Rick, we are now caught up. You see how far behind we get when I run the chat room. Apparently that's where you belong.
Well, that's where I prefer, you know, kind of heading people. And Scott, I'm not responding to you in the chat room. You made fun of my mustache, so let's just...
I think he honored the mustache. He didn't make fun of it.
Oh,
I mean,
getting into the microphone.
It's a legitimate concern. Your microphone's full of mustache hairs. Mine's full of cigar ashes and burn marks. He gets it. Scott gets the show. He understands it.
That's a good point.
And he also gets it. You know, Lindsay Zarniak has a child, apparently, so we know she gave it up just once. That's an excellent point. So
that scared me.
Know.
He's sitting there Googling her history here.
Well, why wouldn't he? I mean, good Lord, is she... Getting it done. Yeah, good for Lindsay. That's what I say. Getting it done.
You guys are pathetic. All right, let's go on here.
Just because we're not so
let's
old.
Let's get us some starts and sits and watches, Rick. What do you say?
All right, why don't you start off this show while I pull everything up here, as it has been madness through the top of the show. 33 minutes in, we are finally ready to roll.
Oh, here was one that was on Twitter. We actually both answered it.
Oh, okay.
And
it's rare that I was on Twitter. I must have been drunk.
But, you know, it was a trade question. You know, would you trade Julian Edelman and Martellus Bennett for Dez Bryant and Delanie Walker?
I said yes.
I said in a heartbeat.
You hate to give up Bennett, but there's, you know,
right.
The thing with Bennett, he's rolling right now, and he's going to continue to have a nice year. He's not going to have weeks like last week. There are so many weapons. You've had Marshall banged up. You've had Jeffrey banged up. You know, Forte hasn't had the huge role
scoring.
We expect from him.
I mean,
if you can get Dez Bryant, it's a no-brainer to me if you can get Dez Bryant.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I think Chicago's offense is going to stay potent all year. Look, Jay Cutler's one of, I believe, four quarterbacks that has 10 or more touchdowns right now. And, yeah, I mean, these are big guys. I mean, you're talking about Marshall and Jeffrey and Bennett themselves. I mean, they're big physical guys. And they're hard to stop. So Bennett may not be as hot every week. Delanie Walker certainly on the rise. But I'm with you. Dez Bryant is one of the top four or five guys, period, in the league. You get him when you can because he's head and shoulders over Edelman.
Right. All right, Rick, we're back in the chat room here.
I believe you got it? Yeah.
You sure?
Oh, I've got it right here,
they're
mister.
They're flying in.
Yes, sir. And, yeah. Oh, geez. Oh, go ahead.
And that's what I thought, Rick. Pick two of these in a non-PPR. Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell, your boy Ben Tate, and Donald Brown. So I think for me, Le'Veon Bell, he's a no-brainer. He's the number two back in the league right now behind DeMarco Murray.
Oh, it's Foster and Bell. I don't even think it's close.
Foster? Are you sure?
Yeah.
You saw what happened last. It looks like Foster is a go. Him and Andre Johnson are a go. But, God, you saw what happened. You know what happens when Arian Foster's dealing with these hamstrings.
Okay, well, yeah.
But Donald Brown stunk on ice, too. So.
Yeah, Donald Brown, who obviously could get some points. I mean, he's the starter right now in San Diego, which last week didn't prove to be anything. You got Ben Tate coming back. You just covered him. You're not ready to roll with him. You're just sitting there looking at him. So, I mean, for you, it's either Donald Brown or Arian Foster. So, when I said Foster and Bell, you looked at me like I had just, you know, was a Cyclops here. But but the thing is,
and we know what the picture's going to be this week.
Are you that high on Donald Brown to make a big comeback?
No.
Look at the upside of Foster.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to back off because as we move on there, let's go ahead with Arian Foster. Now, in the flex spot, where
right,
to go?
Bennett.
Bennett Quick, or in this case, Donald Brown, if we're going to go with Arian Foster. I think it's got to be Bennett, right?
Is it? Yeah.
Non-PPR.
Non-PPR, certainly the red zone threat. I'd put Bennett in there. I would have no worries.
Yeah, I think I'll
go
that way. So Donald Brown and Arian Foster is closer to me, but we talked about it a lot last week. If you had better options, I'm recommending against Arian Foster this week. Donald Brown could get nuts this week, but, boy, you just didn't see it. I think you take the threat of Danny Woodhead out of that offense, even when Ryan Matthews comes back. That running game's going to suffer when you don't have the dynamic change of pace like a Danny Woodhead.
I agree. I think Biggs Tech's got a trade offer, and he has Julius Thomas and was offered Le'Veon Bell and Delanie Walker for Thomas and Gerhardt or Joik Bell.
Yes.
Throw Gerhardt at him and bring in Le'Veon and Delanie Walker. Yes. Definitely.
Delanie Walker on the rise, going back to the other trade question with the Dez Bryant trade. If you can get Le'Veon Bell on your team, this guy is more than half of the Steelers' offense. It's 50% Le'Veon Bell. It's about 40% Antonio Brown, and it's 10% everybody else. Le'Veon Bell, they find any way they can to get him the ball. And you hate to give up Julius Thomas, but Delanie Walker will certainly make up for the gap between what you're gaining in the running backs, and you're going to come out ahead in this deal.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at Bell's stats. Yeah, Le'Veon I'm talking about, and put him up against Gerhardt, and there's your upgrade right there.
Yeah, that'll more than cover the difference between Julius Thomas and Delanie Walker, which seems to be shrinking. It really does. The gap between those two is shrinking fast.
Exactly. All right, non-PPR. This is interesting. Ridley or Tate?
Oh, Ridley.
And I'm assuming this is Ben.
Yeah, boy, I really, really don't trust Ridley, but at least I have the potential for a big game for him. I don't think Ben Tate. I just don't expect anything from him today, which means everybody write this down. He's, to your point, he's getting 34 carries for $180 and a touchdown. I'm not ready to trust him. He's been banged up. They held him out a long time for what I felt was a rather minor injury. You've had success with the other running backs there. Ridley looked good beginning of the year, disappeared. This type of game is the type of game where Ridley could go off. I'm going to go with him, but just barely.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think it's pretty close, and I'm not high on either one of these guys, quite frankly. Okay, same non-PPR question, Gronk or Bennett?
Ooh, Gronk.
I'm going Bennett.
Yeah, I think you have to go Bennett.
Until I see something from New England, I can't go with these guys. I've benched and traded Brady in just about every league that I've had him in. And I'm done with him. This is killing me.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a Brady issue, if Gronk's still nicked up. You keep waiting for Gronk to come back and do what Gronk does. I don't know, what's going on, but I've seen it from Bennett. He's a big part of that offense. I worry there's going to be times when Bennett's going to slide to the background with those other three weapons around. And there's just so much firepower, so much fantasy goodness on that Bears roster. That Bennett makes me nervous, but I prattled on about that all week last Sunday, and look what he did and made me look once again like a total fool.
As a matter of fact, I was scoffed at for recommending Bennett as that flex spot, and I was quite happy with the result.
To be fair, most things that come out of your mouth, this is a natural reaction. We all scoff at you. It's sort of what we do.
Oh, and by the way, if you just tuned in and you don't really know. It's a very light week. We didn't even mention being top of the show. Miami and Oakland, the only bye teams this week.
Yeah,
so,
weird scheduling.
Yeah, it is strange. So, I mean, you know, if you have a few guys you want to pay attention to, Lamar Miller, get him out of there. Maybe Brian Hartline, Mike Wallace, Oakland, not a whole lot there. James Jones, obviously, you don't want to have in your lineup. So, you know, pay attention to that. Oakland and Miami, the only two on a bye this week.
Yeah, and not losing a lot there from a fantasy perspective as it is. So let's jump back into Twitter, Rick. Forsett or Spiller in a PPR? We got that one, right?
Yeah,
I wonder
Spiller.
If we got it again. We're going Spiller there. And Alex is back on the Twitter. Wants to know if starting Foster is a good move this week. I'm trying to remember who was he debating with back and forth? It doesn't say on the tweet. Oh, it was D'Angelo, I believe. So,
well, D'Angelo's out.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good move if you don't have a better option. Let's put it that way, Alex. I don't know who
Tweet back in, Alex, that who you would start for Arian Foster. We recommended Foster over Donald Brown, so that's
right.
Sort of the level we have Foster on. I wouldn't go much higher than that,
right,
to be honest with you. But, Alex, go ahead and tweet back in who your other options would be. All right, Rick, are we caught up here?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and read the number.
646-478-4679. Hop on the official Dean from Connecticut listener line if you'd like to do that. What do you got in the chat room, Rick?
We have a PPR question. Trent Richardson, Donald Brown, Crowell, Alfred Blue.
Ooh,
wow.
Richardson, Brown, Crowell, and Blue. I think it's Brown for me just based on most opportunities. I really think it is.
Okay, and we have to pick two. I mean, what kind of a team do you have here? We have to pick two of these guys. Okay.
Wow. That was just mean. Rick.
Well, it was Scott. So,
okay.
You know.
Well, yeah. You can say that about him. What are you doing, Scott?
Yeah. I don't know. Certainly Brown. I think Brown and Crowell. I don't think Tate's, like you, to your point, certainly not going to get a bulk of the load. Cleveland's at Tennessee. They're coming off the bye. I look for a little bit of something from Cleveland. Pretty competitive team. I think I'd have to go Crowell and Brown.
You don't have any fears there that...
Oh, plenty with any of those guys.
But just the three-headed monster, they're going to give Tate some work.
True. But I'm looking at Blue, okay? You know, a lot of that depends on Foster. And that's, I guess, if you're a real gambler, is Foster going to get just a few carries and that hammy tweaks and then Blue's in there? I don't know. I mean, you see these things. He's the Brian Westbrook of the 2000 and teens.
Right.
You know, he's always questionable. He's driving owners crazy. He'll go out like he did last week and do nothing. He might go out this week and do 120 and two touchdowns. So I just don't like to gamble. I don't know how much Blue's going to get. So,
all right, Rick, I'm about to hang myself way out there. Get your pen ready, Scott. Get your pen ready. Write this one down.
Richardson.
I'm going to read you a couple stat lines here. 20 carries, 47 yards and a touchdown, plus four receptions. 14 carries, 57 yards, plus three receptions. 21 carries, 79 yards, plus one reception. Rick, I'm rolling Trent Richardson this week. Write it down. They are getting him involved in the offense. Ahmad Bradshaw succeeding to the level he has is making things easier for Trent Richardson. On that list, with Crowell, with the mess he's in there, with Blue, with Foster starting, give me Trent Richardson. Write it down. I am shoving all in, Rick. And we had a call. You want to know how crazy that was?
I think I'll go along with you.
We had a caller on the line. I said Trent Richardson. They hang up. They hung up. That tells you, Rick, where we're at with Trent Richardson. But I'm going out there. I'm going out on the limb. I'm going for it. Trent Richardson, Donald Brown in that situation for me. And so I won't recommend him a lot. So caller 646-478-4679 if you'd like to call back in. I promise we'll lay off the Trent Richardson talk. Apparently it's very offensive.
Non-PPR, Colston or Quick?
Colston.
Quick.
I just like what they're going to do. I think they have a big day today. That's what it comes down to. Colston's a big risk. Quick's the safe play, but I think, and because I'm jinxing it now, but I think Colston has himself a decent little week. Back in the chat room, Rick, here we had a lot of Steven Jackson talk last week. We're going to get a little more here. S-Jax or Crowell? A lot of Crowell today, too.
Yeah, I don't know. Boy, I tell you, that is a tough one. Steven Jackson, it's just scary to go after him. I mean, if he doesn't have a touchdown,
he's useless.
He's 4 or 5 points.
45 yards, that's what he's going
to do. I think I'd roll with Crowell. I really do.
Yeah, I think in that case, you know what you're getting out of Jackson. There's at least some upside on Crowell. You know, and I think Cleveland has an opportunity to score a little bit. So it looks like we have a call in the line. Area code 240. Welcome to the Trent Richardson Fantasy Football Hour.
Hey, this is Drunk Dwight again.
Hey, Drunk. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm listening, and I called in because I had a question. And, yes, I did hear you say Trent Richardson, and I spilled my drink.
I knocked the phone out.
All
see,
right.
I knew it would happen. I knew I would.
So I had to clean up my phone, wipe it off, and then call you back.
That a boy. At least you cleaned up the drink and saved it.
I'm a professional.
What does a professional like Drunk Dwight drink at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning?
Well, you know what? I'm pretty eclectic. It's whatever's left in the refrigerator from Saturday night.
Whatever he didn't finish last night. I like it. Perfect.
Right now, it's a very, I'm going to say it's a very urban beer, and we'll leave it at that.
All right.
I like the sound of that. A good,
for the other show.
A good breakfast beverage if there ever was one.
Well, here's my little issue here. I have a flex issue, and I don't really have good wide receivers, but I just get a whole bunch and play whoever I think is going to do the best. I just roll the dice. So my flex options are, let's see here, the guy from Arizona, Michael Floyd, and Quick. I just get him because no one had him on the waiver wire, and it's a 14-team league standard, so the waiver wire is pretty bare. So those were the guys that no one paid attention to, so I grabbed them. Which would you play in the flex?
Floyd.
Yeah, I think especially they're going to be trying to play catch-up, keep up with Denver. Floyd has become that number one option in Arizona over Larry Fitzgerald, unexplainably to me. But, yeah, I think it's Michael Floyd. I think he sets up for a big week, and he's a pretty safe every week start for you,
and
too.
And Drew Stanton has proved he can get him the ball. So, I mean, you know, Arizona was very impressive before the bye, you know, with that win over San Francisco. And, I mean, I know Denver's a different animal, but I think they're going to be able to score on Denver and move the ball. So, yeah, I mean, I think Floyd, he's a must start.
Now, let me ask you this. All the talk from the quote-unquote experts and analysts, I keep hearing quick, this Quick guy. What is it about him that everyone's in love with him as that sleeper or whatever that term means anymore?
Well, number one, he is basically the guy in St. Louis. You know, with Bradford out of there and, you know, they got the new quarterback, young quarterback in there. They seem to always tend to find the guy. You know, Brian Quick seems to be the one. And, you know, he's been putting up some numbers. They're at Philadelphia today. You know, Philadelphia, I think they're like 11th in giving up fantasy points to wide receivers. Not bad. They're kind of middle of the pack. So I certainly think, you know, especially with them coming off the bye, I think Quick's certainly able to put up numbers against them. Like I said, he's the guy in St. Louis right now.
And the interesting thing about Quick, and that's where he's a conversation to play every week, but he's also a risk, but he's averaging 15 yards a reception. He's getting downfield. You know how those young quarterbacks tend to lean on a guy. You know, in this case of Floyd, it's pretty close to it. Not pretty close to it. He's an every week start. So I don't start him there, but if you have some deeper options, Quick is an intriguing guy when you get to your bye.
Okay. And I do have one more question. Again, it's a bit, this one would be more philosophical. 4-0, and it looks like the guy that I'm going up against today, actually, he doesn't have a particularly good team. So I'm probably going to be 5-0. At some point, do you, in your personal games, do you start messing with your bench in preparation for the playoffs, you know, trying to make trades or looking for these super sleepers? Or do you say, hey, if it's not broken, don't fix it, relax?
I am too – if your bench is performing like you thought they would when you drafted them to have in case you need them in a bye week or an injury situation, I say you just keep it right there. You're undefeated, and, yeah, you haven't had to use these guys. And it mean, you know, maybe someone has emerged that you feel is a little more attractive. I'm not opposed to that. Like, you know, say a Brian Quick or something, and, I don't know, you had somebody, I can't think of anybody right off hand, but it's not really performing a lot. Yeah, don't, you know, go ahead. Don't be afraid to do that. But just to make moves for the sake of I'm getting bored with this team because they're kicking the hell out of everybody, I wouldn't do that. I just leave it alone until you have a devastating injury or something like that.
And by the way, I just got Ellington this morning. Somebody dropped him. Should I be what? As happy as I am?
Yeah, you should be dancing in the streets with the urban beverage, as you put it. You're from the right flight. Did you say you're from the D.C. area?
You got it.
So you got to watch Lindsey Zarniak coming up. I don't know if you were listening to the beginning of the show. We had a little Lindsey Zarniak talk. What are your thoughts? That's my question for you. What are your thoughts on watching Lindsey emerge into her own? She came from your area, didn't she?
That's true, but I am a sexist, and I don't pay attention to women in terms of football.
Fair enough. But she did some NASCAR, too. Nothing wrong with a woman in NASCAR, right?
Urban guy. We don't watch NASCAR.
He's showing.
I am zoned in on Lindsey Zarniak right now. I don't care about fantasy football at this point.
But I'm going to Google her, and I have more input for you next week.
All right, we'll look forward to
good.
We'll look forward to your take on her. All right, well, hey, Dwight, great to hear from you again. Enjoy those beverages, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Love the show.
All right,
appreciate it, Dwight. Thanks. Hey, let's get caught up in the chat room. Rick, we got standard questions here. Martin Ivory Edelman. I'm going to gamble with Martin in New Orleans. I think red zone touches could be coming his way. New Orleans defense is horrible.
That defense is. If you're ever going to play Doug Martin for where you drafted him, this would probably be the week. If I wanted to. It's standard, you said, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, give me Martin. I don't love it, though.
All right, standard. Sankey, Fred Jackson, Foster, Bradshaw.
Sankey, F. Jacks, Foster, Brett. Oh, boy, that's tough. I only get one of those. I'd like to have that team. I'm throwing Sankey out. Foster makes me nervous with that hamstring. Who are the Bills playing?
I think I have to go. Well, okay, Buffalo's at Detroit, and Indianapolis is at home against Baltimore.
Yeah, give me Arian Foster here. I drafted him in the second round. I'm going to roll Arian Foster.
All right, Houston at Dallas. Boy, that is intriguing. Dallas is playing some good defense. I'm still to the notion Houston is more of a paper tiger, but it's Foster or really Fred Jackson to me, but I think just with the, you know, the timeshare with Spiller, I think you have to roll with Foster.
Right.
Hate to do it, but.
Yeah, he scares the hell out of me after what happened last week. But
standard, T.Y. Hilton, Eddie Royal, Torrey Smith.
Ooh, T.Y. Hilton. Torrey Smith has been one of the biggest disappointments to me this season. I keep waiting for him to break out, and it's really not happening. T.Y. Hilton, he's intriguing. Who was the third guy?
Eddie Royal.
We talked a lot about playing the hot hand. I might do it. No. You know what? I'm not recommending Eddie Royal over T.Y. Hilton. Give me T.Y. Hilton there.
Okay. I'll tell you, that's a tough one there.
I want to play the hot hand with Royal, but you got to get in the end zone with him.
Yeah, that's true.
And Andrew Luck's going nuts. He's just going nuts.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with Hilton. We talked about one of the four, Cutler being one of the four guys with 10 or more touchdowns. Well, Andrew Luck's the leader. He's got 14. So, yeah, I think you go with T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, all right. We heard back from Rudy Rigg. We had the question, remember the Crowell or Steven Jackson question we mulled over? Yeah. That was Alex's. Those were the guys he was going to play over Arian Foster. I think you roll Arian Foster there. There's too much risk with those other guys.
With who now?
It would have been Foster, Crowell, or Steven Jackson.
Oh, yeah, I think I'd have to roll with Foster.
Yeah, there's risk with Foster, but a lot higher upside than either of those other two guys. And I know we got Burnt recommending Foster to Alex last week. Once bitten, twice shy. Young Alex is learning at an early age. But yeah, he's Arian Foster. He is starting this week. I think you got to go that way.
And that, Alex, as the older you get, as you develop ulcers while you own your fantasy teams, you'll know why. Because this is what happens in fantasy. You know, it is a pretty good rule that if your studs are playing, the guys that you spent the good draft picks on are playing, and there's nobody really on your bench that has really risen and put up some huge numbers, you have to roll with them because they present the upside and they present you the best chance to win today. So I got to go with Foster.
Right. All right, Rick, we all caught up there in the chat room. I know we're caught up on Twitter. The phone lines are clear, 646-478-4679.
Oh, now we actually have one in the chat room.
All right.
Czerniak or Melissa Starks?
Ooh, Czerniak for me. Starks is a good egg. She really is, but Lindsay's the flavor of the day. You know how I switch. Who is that chick that's on the NFL Network? I got obsessed with there for a while. Harwell or Hartwell or something. See, she's old news now.
I don't know.
It's all Lindsay Czerniak to me. Although, if we can go back, I don't remember which show it was on. Blake Bortles' girlfriend, that's the way you want to go. Check out our website, AsylumFantasySports.com. You'll see a picture of her up there. But and that one, it's tough, but in a PPR format, give me Lindsay Czerniak.
Okay, we got to have another one. It's interesting. With my rival playing Eli, and I am the underdog, should I play the Seattle defense or the Giant defense? I say Seattle all day long. They're at Washington. Your Giant defense is playing Atlanta, and, you know, albeit Atlanta's defense isn't that good, you know, and Eli may get some points, that doesn't translate into the Giants' defense getting a lot of points because let's not forget Atlanta's offense is very potent. I think you roll with the best defense, which is Seattle.
Yeah, Atlanta's bad on the road, but I also don't see the Giants. You know, it's closer than it should be, you know, because Seattle's not as good on the road as well.
True.
But you drafted Seattle a lot earlier than you generally should draft a defense. Washington, albeit what Kirk Cousins can do, he can look really good, and then he can throw up all over himself like he did last Thursday.
Yeah,
but it's the Seattle defense. You have to roll with them. I like where you're thinking.
I
like the way you're going there, but I think you got to stick with Seattle. You'll regret it if you don't.
I think. Hey, let's roll through the games real quick before we bring Scott on.
All right.
Ooh, okay.
It's almost 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
good
it is. It's flying by. And it's good that it's 11 because it's flown by. It's crazy busy, but that's good.
That's a good thing. We'll take
Chicago
it.
Bears at Carolina.
Carolina looks bad. Chicago's rolling. Brandon Marshall actually practiced this week. He's 100% healthy. I think you see this Chicago team get on a bit of a roll. I think Chicago, you saw what the Steelers could do on Carolina. We don't have a lot of time. I'll quit breaking these down so much. Give me Chicago 35, Carolina 17. I don't think it's close.
I'm right there with you. I'll go like 34-16, right on the button. That's good. Buffalo at Detroit.
Oh, boy, Detroit is such an enigma. I think with being at home, with the down week they had last week, Detroit just too much offense. Give me Detroit 29, Buffalo 24.
All right, I'm not sure it's going to be that close. I like Buffalo's defense a little bit, but I think there's too many weapons to Detroit. I'm going Detroit 30, Buffalo 17. Houston at Dallas, both 3-1.
Wow. Dallas is rolling. DeMarco Murray's going nuts. Houston has really showed some warts lately, which all leads to me, this is the kind of game Dallas loses. They're going to insist on keeping this division close. I don't know how. I don't know why. Give me Houston 24-21.
All right, I'm going Dallas 32, Houston 24, Baltimore at Indianapolis.
Everything about me wants to pick Baltimore here, but Indy is rolling just too well on offense. Give me Indy 27, Baltimore 23.
I'm going Indianapolis 34, Baltimore 27. I think it's a higher scoring affair. St. Louis at Philadelphia.
Philadelphia just, like that St. Louis defense, just way too much offense. There's no chance for me that St. Louis keeps up. Give me Philly 34 to less for the other team.
Philadelphia 24, St. Louis 17.
Ooh, you think a close one, a low-scoring one.
Cleveland at Tennessee.
Boy, tough. I like what Cleveland's doing. I think they find a way to pull one out here. I'm not in love with that Tennessee offense. Give me Cleveland 23-16.
I'm with you. I go Cleveland 24, Tennessee 17. I think it's about a touchdown. Pittsburgh at Jacksonville.
Oh, boy. I really, really want to pick Pittsburgh to lose this game. It's going to be unnecessarily close, but it just can't happen with the rookie quarterback and Dick LeBeau. Give me the Steelers 23-16.
I think it's going to be a little boy. I'm going Pittsburgh 31, Jacksonville 20. Tampa at New Orleans.
At home, New Orleans is a different team. They got to have this game. Just way too much offense. You saw what Atlanta did to that Tampa defense. Give me, I think we're talking about 38-17. I don't think it's even close.
I actually had the 41-20 New Orleans. Atlanta at the Giants.
That's an interesting
game.
Very
interesting.
I'm going to go with the hot hand and the fact that the Falcons don't play well on the road. Give me the Giants about 26-19.
I'm going 27-23, New York, and Arizona at Denver.
Boy, I would love to have the guts to pick Arizona here. That's such an intriguing team. They're not a 4-0 team. Too much offense. Denver coming off the bye week, off a loss prior to that. Give me the Broncos 34, Arizona 22.
Now, that's a pretty good thing. I have 31-17 Denver. New York Jets at San Diego.
Yeah, Jets are just terrible. My boy Geno Smith, a constant letdown. Give me San Diego 27, Jets 12.
I love Phillip Rivers, especially at home, even with only Donald Brown, the only guy in town at running back, a lot of weapons passing-wise. I like San Diego 30, New York Jets 13, Kansas City at San Francisco.
Another one I wish I had the guts to take Kansas City here. Kansas City, a different team at home. San Francisco seemed to get back on track a little bit. Give me San Francisco 28, Kansas City 17.
I have San Francisco 23, Kansas City 20. I like Kansas City defense to keep it close. Cincinnati at New England.
Boy, everything tells you Cincinnati coming off the bye with that tremendous defense, the way New England's offense is struggling. New England doesn't ever lose back-to-back games. Tom Brady's been bad from a fantasy perspective. He's still Tom Brady. Cincinnati doesn't feel like a 4-0 team to me either. Somehow, some way, give me New England 31, Cincinnati 24.
I am off the New England dynasty bandwagon. I think I like what Cincinnati's doing. Look, they're undefeated, and Andy Dalton has two touchdown passes. Cincinnati 24, New England 20. Seattle at Washington.
Seattle 146, Washington 2.
No, I'm going Seattle 27, Washington 13. Let's get it caught up in the chat room before we bring Scott in. We have non-PPR, Welker or Brandon Cooks?
Brandon Cooks. I'm going to need to see a little more from Welker.
Yeah, in standard, I think I would go Cooks. And would you drop Carolina D for the Bengals D?
And a heartbeat.
And that's the exact one of the answers in the chat room from Jim Strube. In a heartbeat, and I concur.
Cincinnati is a top four defense right now if they're not a top two defense. All right, Rick, it is time. What we've all been waiting for. Scott Fish joins us to go through the mailbag. Scott, how's it going this week?
I'm doing good, doing good. I love when you make picks and you say that a team's going to score 12 points or 2 points or 9 points, or, you know, just random numbers. I really, really love that.
The
two-pointer was perfect.
I'm a big proponent of the safety, and I think we see a few this week.
And a funny thing is, I remember about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were doing the same thing, and Rick says, you know, how does a team score 16 points or something? And I think the score ended up, I believe it was like 32-16 or whatever, odd score. So they can do it. But anyway, what's going up in Minnesota after that?
Oh, not much. Trying to ignore that football is still going on. We're we're pretty happy with Ponder, though. He's helping our draft pick for next year.
Yeah, he'll certainly do that. So you have declared your undying, never-ending love for Cordell Patterson. I have agreed with you. I've been right there. What do we do now?
Oh, wow, that's tough. It's one thing to love a kid's talent. I think I still would say he's got probably, if you just go strictly on talent, top 15 or 20 most talented wide receivers in the NFL. But in redraft leagues, Norv Turner just isn't utilizing him. And Ponder isn't good for his game. We have yet to see what Bridgewater is going to do, but Bridgewater had such a connection with Wright that that's been the focus the last game and a quarter or whatever. So I think it's just a hold because you picked him so high that you can't sell low on him now. You're just going to have to hold him and hopefully bench him. Hopefully you have better options at the moment. But right now, yeah, it's not looking too great. Dynasty leagues, I'm holding the crap. I'm buying him if I can right now.
Yeah, it was interesting watching that game. It was almost like Ponder was trying to force the chemistry with Wright. It was almost like he wasn't looking at anyone else in that game. And to do, I don't know, it was a bad game to watch. But, I mean, did you get that? It was kind of like he was just forcing balls to Wright when there certainly had to be somebody else open.
You would think so, but Ponder does stare down receivers, and I didn't watch it with such a close eye that I noticed if other players were open. I just noticed he likes to force a lot of throws.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, let's get into the mailbag as quick as this half hour is gone, or goes. We never get through them all. So I picked out some of the ones I thought were the most interesting, and as we predicted last week, I put the first one up. Tom Brady or Eli Manning?
Eli. I'm not even thinking about it.
I'm not
I don't want to talk myself either. Out of it. It's Eli.
I think it's Eli. I don't even think it's hard, but I just had to put an Eli question in there.
I think that that guy should look on the waiver wire and drop Brady for whatever he can. I think Brady's done.
I'm with you. I actually... in one leg, I dropped him and picked up Joe Flacco. So that tells you what. And I'm certainly not wacko for Flacco when it comes to that, but it is just terrible to watch. I mean, you get nothing from Tom Brady. Okay, we need to pick two in a PPR, and it's Hearns, Quick, Sanu, or Wright, Kendall Wright.
Oh, boy. Okay. So I believe... Is it Sanders is back this week? Do I have that right? No.
For Jacksonville?
For Jacksonville, yeah. I think he is. Well, either way, I'm throwing Hearns. Well, Hearns is interesting. I hate the Steelers right now. It's Quick and my mind just went
blank. I think I would have to go. Certainly, Quick is my first guy. You know, New England gives up the fewest points to wide receivers fantasy-wise. So, in that instance, I think I'm going to throw Sanu out. I think I'm going to roll with Kendall Wright.
Wow. I think Marvin Jones is still out from what I've
right.
heard. He, at least he's doubtful. So, I think I'm going to go with Quick and Sanu. Yeah, pretty much what you guys said. I don't know. Ace Sanders is playing, but I don't know how much I trust Hearns. I'm not a big Hearns supporter. I like him, don't love him. And Wright, week one, sure, he caught a touchdown. But other than that, he's been that offense has been weak. Quick and Sanu.
Man, I'll tell you what, Scott. Something's going on there.
Something you need to deal with.
Oh, I have a 19-month-old that felt like that was a good time to slam a door a few times, like seven times.
That was awesome.
All right, let's hit to the chat room here before we fall too far behind. And we have on EPR, we have, I'm going to say Ben Tate. It just says Tate, Chris Johnson, or Crowell.
Oh, boy, I... recommending against Chris Johnson all over the place, but in this circumstance, I think Chris Johnson is the safest play there. I'm going to hope for the end zone, hope to get something out of him there. Crowell, a lot of love for Crowell today. I'm just not feeling, especially with Tate coming back. We all know how I feel about Tate. I'm going to go with CJ 700 here this
week. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning Crowell, honestly. I just don't love Chris Johnson. I know that he still is performing a decent level. I'm going to assume that it's Golden Tate and not Ben Tate. But either way, I think I would just rather have Crowell's upside. I'm guessing this is like a third flex or something, or second flex with those options. Maybe not, but I like Crowell's upside.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Crowell myself. Chris Johnson, he had that touchdown 35-yarder last week. You take that away, And it's certainly not guaranteed by any stretch every week. He's just not getting the volume of work that I want to put in there. Cruel, on the same token, may not be. But I just think, I think Cleveland coming off the bye is going to be a little more explosive, you know, maybe throw in a few new wrinkles. So I'm going Cruel myself. Okay, let's head into, let's see the mailbag here, and here we go. I have Eli Manning.
Okay.
Should I trade Big Ben for Dwayne Bowe?
No, not for Dwayne Bowe. I like the idea. Well, you know what? I don't like the idea. I'm not going to start trusting Eli here. I'd like to play that matchup. Neither one are going to bring the trade you want back, I don't think, and certainly not Dwayne Bowe. He's showed a few flashes here, but he's still Dwayne Bowe, and I hate him. So
I think I would certainly play Ben, and if I was going to trade Dwayne Bowe, it'd be Eli.
Probably.
It certainly would not give up.
Yeah, Eli's going to revert back to Eli here at some point before it's all said and done.
I'd really like to know how big of a league this is, because I wouldn't trade for Bowe. Let's just put that out there right away. But in like a 10-team league, I don't even care about quarterbacks. There's guys on the waiver wire every week. Your Bortles, your Tannehill, your Eli's, who I just picked up in a 10-teamer this week. I don't even care about quarterbacks in a 10-teamer. So if you can trade Ben for something of value, hopefully better than Bowe, I'd do it. But this trade, I would not do.
Okay, so there's a consensus there, mister. Don't make the trade.
I like when you call people mister. I don't know why, but it amuses me.
Yeah, okay.
It seems like very 50s to me or something. Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy it. Keep it up.
Okay, here is a very interesting question. This is a PPR question, and we need to pick two. Zach Stacy, LeSean McCoy, Doug Martin, Niall Davis.
Oh, okay, that is interesting.
And here's a guy that I can already tell, he's getting a little tired of LeSean McCoy.
He's right, and I would be too. You know, I didn't pick very high in too many drafts. I don't have McCoy on any teams, luckily. But you can't sit down McCoy, especially for that. Doug Martin, I find interesting this week in that match. I know how I feel about this, but I like what Zach State's been doing. We declared him dead after a couple tough weeks and with the quarterback injuries. But Zach Stacy's held his own. He's been reliable. He's been safe. I'm going to play it safe there and go with Stacy McCoy.
I think I'm certainly in with Zach Stacy this week. And you can't bench Sean McCoy. It's back to that old thing. I mean, he's basically your number one pick. I've got to roll with him, especially in PPR. So I'm going Stacy McCoy as well.
Yeah, I have McCoy in just because I'm not ready to give up on him either. And I would go Stacy over Martin. It's really close, though, because both the defenses they play, Philly and New Orleans, have given up like 650 yards and 5 touchdowns to running backs each. I think both are very, very nice plays for them. But I think Stacy's in for a little bit more of the workload. I'm not trusting completely Martin yet. So give me Stacy.
Okay, we have, and here's a gentleman that, or lady, I'm not sure which, but may have some quarterback problems. We're starting either Drew Stanton at Denver or Joe Flacco at Indianapolis.
Drew Stanton at Denver, Joe Flacco. Boy, both games I think could be shootouts. Do I have the guts to recommend Drew Stanton here, Rick? That Denver defense is better than you think it is. I'm going to go wacko for Flacco here. It's kind of a gutless move, but that's what I'm going to do. I'm putting on my purple. I'm wacko for Flacco.
Scott.
Yeah, I think I'm still sticking with Flacco. I don't have the balls to go with Stanton in this one. I was going to look up real quick who's worse to face, Denver or Indianapolis, for quarterbacks. And it looks like the Colts are just definitely worse, it looks like. It's really close, though. They're both not near as bad as I thought they would be. So, give me Flacco. I trust him a little more than Stanton.
Yeah, me too. Joe Flacco, he's a veteran. He's actually, certainly had a lot of success. Drew Stanton's going to be going against one of the greats of all time, and it varies possible he may be pressing a little bit to keep up with this guy. And, you know, you may see some unforced errors from him. I think Flacco is not only the better play, he's definitely the safer play as well. So let's move on here. We need a – this is another PPR question. We need a flex, and it is Fred Jackson, Chris Johnson, Niall Davis.
This one's Niall Davis for me. Oftentimes it would be Fred Jackson. I love getting him in my lineup. That Detroit run defense has been so good, yeah, for all the reasons we talked about Johnson. I like Niall Davis. He's going to get 16, 17, 18 touches. Going to average 6 yards a carry doing them. Even with Paul Charles back and healthy, I'm going to roll with him.
Very close with Fred Jackson. You know, Detroit is all stout against it. You know, San Francisco, top defense. I tell you what, I think I would, in PPR, I think I'm rolling with Fred Jackson. I think he gets more work than Davis does. And that's just a gut feeling that I think Jamal Charles is back. They're going to need him more. I think I'm going to have to roll Fred Jackson.
Welcome to Fred Jackson Island. I'm also going Niall Davis, and I'm going to hang out with Briggs, and we're gonna have a few drinks and shoot for the upside of Niall Davis.
All right. Well, you'll be hanging out with Fligger. Me and Fred, we'll be hanging out, having a few just, you know, no problem. Yeah, Fred Jackson Island is a lot more attractive than, say, Geno Smith Island and some of these other dreks that he's been on.
Yeah, but you can get good value on real estate on Geno Smith Island. You're going to overpay on Fred Jackson.
That's
Island.
A good point. I agree.
It's all about value for
yeah.
me.
There you go. All right. I mean, yeah, certainly can't fault anybody. Niall Davis is very attractive. Just something, you know, Fred Jackson is just hard to put down because he seems to be the one that excels against these tougher defenses. Spiller doesn't really get the maybe a lot of yardage up the middle and so forth. Fred Jackson's going to get his catches and so forth. Just have a little gut feeling with Fred. All right. And I probably paid too much for the per acre.
Oh, yeah,
but what are you going to do?
Definitely. You got robbed.
Andy Dalton or Jay Cutler?
Oh. I think it's Jay Cutler here. I really do. Andy Dalton. Yeah, he's intriguing. He's so up and down. It's 400 and it's 180. You know, he's been a stud so far this year. Carolina defense certainly not doing what we expected out of them, those weapons. I like Jay Cutler here. He hovers around that 11, 12, 13 mark as far as my quarterback rankings, and that's where I'm going to play him. I don't have the guts to move Andy Dalton ahead of him yet.
Andy Dalton has 2 touchdown passes. Jay Cutler has 10. I don't think it's close at this point until Dalton starts picking it up a little bit. I go Cutler.
Yeah, it's not close for me either. Cutler, his matchup is just significantly better as well. The Patriots have allowed, I think it's like the second lowest. Let me check real quick. The third lowest yards to quarterbacks this season, and they have played 4 games. So they're the second best defense versus fantasy quarterbacks, and that's what Dalton has to face. So give me Cutler in a landslide.
Okay, we have chat room question. Very interesting. Cutler or Rivers?
Ooh, boy, that's why don't you start it, Rivers?
I'm sticking with my boy Phil Rivers, man. He's at home. He's against the Jets. I think he can score. I'm going Phil Rivers.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, it's Rivers, not close for me, but he is. The Jets actually have are currently the fourth best defense, fourth worst defense versus fantasy quarterbacks, which makes it just even crazier that you would consider anyone but Rivers. He might be my top quarterback to start this week. Overall, he's right up there.
Yeah, it's tough. Jay Cutler's got a nice matchup. He's got all those weapons, but Phil Rivers is rolling and at home. The Jets struggling as they are, and then traveling that 3,000 miles is always a factor for me, Rick, so I'll make it unanimous. I won't put myself on Cutler Island. He's not a guy I want to hang out with one-on-one.
Yeah, maybe not, but, you know, not a bad island as well with the stats he's been putting up. But here we go with chat room. We have Kelsey at San Francisco or Ertz at home versus St. Louis.
Oh, I think it's Kelsey. This kid is rolling. He's become a huge part of that offense. Just too many weapons. Yeah, otherwise, when you're talking about Ertz, give me Kelce.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Kelce just looked way too good last week, and they do have less options, especially in the receiving game. It's basically Charles and Kelce, in my opinion. And for Ertz, they have a bunch of weapons in Philly. So give me Kelce.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Kelce as well. And, I mean, the point was already made in chat room. San Francisco is number two versus tight end. St. Louis, number 10. Both top 10 defenses against a tight end. I think Kelce is a much more potent weapon for Kansas City. So although San Francisco is number two defense against him, I still like him. I think his chances are better than Ertz's. Okay, let's head back to the mailbag here. If I can get it. Here we go. We need a running back, a wide receiver, and a flex in PPR.
Okay.
You got all that written down?
Well, I'm with you.
Okay.
With you. I'm all over it.
Okay, so we need three positions out of these five. Spiller, Bradshaw, Quick, Hilton, Hopkins.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, so if I had to have the running back, that's Bradshaw. I can knock that out of the way now. Then I've got Spiller's completely out. So it comes down to two of Quick, Hilton, and Hopkins for me. I'm going to go with Hilton and Hopkins. I like what Hopkins has been doing. He's emerged. Andre Johnson's still banged up. And we talked about Hilton earlier. I just think while Andrew Luck's rolling the way he is, I know he's spreading the ball out pretty well, but I'd feel best with Hilton. Quick, I like to get my lineup, but, again, he's a two- or three-catch guy. You're counting on him busting that long one. Give me Hilton and Hopkins here, along with Bradshaw in the running back spot.
Go ahead, Scott.
This one's pretty easy for the first two for me. Bradshaw, running back, and Hopkins at wide receiver. I can vacillate between Hilton and Quick quite a bit because there's a lot to like about both of them. I think I would lean Hilton just ever so slightly. I think they put up a lot of points today. I think Indianapolis puts up a lot of points today. So that's why I'm going to go Hilton.
Yeah, I'm going to make it unanimous for the simple reason. I love Brian Quick, but Hilton right now is playing with the number one quarterback in the league. And I know there's Reggie Wayne there and some of these other guys. The only thing I don't like about taking Hilton, because I do have Bradshaw as my running back, you start throwing a lot of it. It's not like Denver. They have a bad game. If you're convinced that Indianapolis is going to score a lot of points week in and week out, don't be afraid to use them all. And that's where I think we're going with Indianapolis now. And, yeah, I like Hilton, Hopkins, and Bradshaw. Okay, here we go. Reggie Wayne or Michael Floyd?
Nah,
PPR.
Floyd. I think, again, they're trying to play catch-up this week. Floyd, when playing and healthy, is an every-week start, regardless of the quarterback. Give me Floyd.
Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, even though I think Indianapolis scores a ton of points, I think Floyd is just much more talented. I think he's just a much better option. And as Flieger said, I think they're playing to catch up, and I think Floyd has 100 yards today.
I think so, too, and he is much more the top option in the Arizona offense than Wayne is in Indianapolis. Look, he had this monster game last week, but it could easily go to, you know, Fleener gets a red zone touchdown, you know, Hilton we just mentioned, you know, Bradshaw, even Richardson, you know, goal line carry. A lot more weapons to spread it out to in Indianapolis, so I'm going Floyd. All right, better check the chat room here. I think we're all caught. I don't think I've missed any. If I have, I apologize and type it in again because I've lost so much on the screen. Okay, we have your boy, Rick.
Oh, here we go.
And this was a very tough question. Toby Gerhart or Donald Brown?
Donald Brown. I'm not talking about Toby Gerhart. Donald Brown.
I tell you what, Gerhart to me is much more intriguing against this terrible Pittsburgh defense. And, you know, normally if they were playing somebody else, I probably wouldn't even think about it. But, you know, watching Pittsburgh so much and watching running backs have success against them, it really made me take pause. And, you know, after what Donald Brown did last week, I'm not convinced. So, I'm really waffling between these two guys. I mean, it's almost a coin flip to me. But I think San Diego is the better team, the more potent offense. I think I'm going to have to roll Donald Brown one more time.
Yeah, this is I'm right there with you. It's so close, but I would lean Donald Brown just because of the production. I think Toby Gerhardt could see, you know, 20 plus touches, but he could also get 41 yards with that 20 plus touches. I know that teams can run on Pittsburgh okay, but I think Donald Brown is on a better offense, and I like him for a better chance to score.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So, how about you? Oh, you already said
I also
you
do not want to be on Toby Gerhardt Island. That is not an island I want to be on. So,
he run around with his shirt off.
Although
the
real estate's very cheap on Toby Gerhardt Island. You have to admit that.
He'll pay you to come hang out with him at this point.
Well, that's probably okay. I think we have Confused Eyes, Rod Smith Sr. I think we're okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, you pad a minute. I think I missed one in
uh-oh.
The chat room.
Yeah, you all right over there, Rick? I mean, these technical – Frank Scott, you have any recommendations? You ever have to fire anybody?
No, I haven't. But I'm glad you're getting rid of Frank, because every time I'm on hold waiting to get on the show, he just – he just brags about his chest hair the whole time.
It's really
frustrating.
I knew I'd missed one because there's a lot of talk in the chat room, but this is a very good question. Standard question, flex, Bradshaw, Crabtree, or Steve Smith?
Steve Smith's an every week start at this point, isn't he?
I think
he has to be.
I think so, yeah. I mean, Crabtree certainly has some upside, and obviously Bradshaw, but I think it's Steve Smith. Mr. Fish.
Oh, sorry. I find it impossible to bench Steve Smith right now. I don't know how you do it. If I'm putting him in order, I think, well, I don't know that it's in order, but Steve Smith is the one, the safest with the highest upside. I think Bradshaw is the second safest, and then I would have Krabs third. But they're actually really, really close for me, but I still think Smith is the starter.
Yeah, I think no question about that. He has given, you know, Baltimore the attitude that they lost a little bit last year with some of the guys leaving on defense, and I think that's what they needed. And he certainly stepped up. He's an ageless one at 35, and he looks better than he has in years. And it says something about what he was going through in Carolina.
Yeah,
a lot of ill feelings. You read these stories this past week, how he felt being stabbed in the back and so forth. So, yeah, you know, things weren't as great as we thought, apparently, towards the end in Carolina.
A guy like him plays better with a chip on his shoulder, and you really, really saw that last week in a revenge game. Well, y'all caught up in the chat room there, Rick. I think we're about out of time. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. Why don't you tell everybody where they can get a hold of you?
ScottFish24 on Twitter, and I think everyone should follow @AsylumFootball on Twitter. I can't say that enough. I love being on this show every week, and I don't know how many people listening know a lot about the fantasy industry, but there's a lot of us, and a lot of us are really good guys. Rick Briggs and Rick Flieger are two of the best I've met in the last decade of being in this industry, and you should really, really give them a follow.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Scott. The check is in the mail, my friend. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. You guys have a good one.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
All right.
All right.
Scott, apparently delusional, thinks you're a nice guy.
That one.
He'd never had to sit across the table from you.
That one flew by.
What a mess. It started out as a disaster, and then questions rolled in. So thank you to everyone listening, everyone in the chat room, everyone on the lines, for saving this show, because it was sinking quickly,
Frank,
off the top. Frank
threw us an anchor in a rubber life raft, and we sunk quick.
Oh, Frank and his chest hair just ruined yet another show, and I say that only because he's in the bathroom right now.
Yeah,
right?
He spends a lot of time there.
He really does. And it's always at peak times of the show. You know,
right.
We need some out music, and Frank's gone. So,
and you know, you, One thing that we can at least puff our chests about, we kind of have we've insulated the studio from
right.
the bathroom, so the
yeah.
sounds aren't
yeah.
picked up on the
yeah,
mic.
That's
so.
When we can say whatever we want about Frank, and God knows he doesn't.
Well, I mean the other way.
Right. Well, that
with
too.
With Frank being in
God
there.
God knows Frank doesn't listen to the show. That's how we can get away with this. So that's it. Thank you so much. Hey, if you don't know, we have moved the regular show to Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern, Blog Talk Radio, AsylumFantasySports.com. We'll get those links out. Remember, Thursday at 7, before that Thursday matchup, hop on, and we'll preview those games as well. Also, FantasySportsNetwork.com every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, replayed at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then on Rick Briggs' time at 4 a.m. on
yeah.
Sunday, that show's replayed.
Check that out this weekend. We had former Super Bowl champion wide receiver Patrick Johnson on. We were talking a lot of rookie wide receivers. And then just general fantasy talk as well. But, you know, check that out. It's a very good show.
So that's it. Thank you. You can continue to get those questions in right up till game time at Asylum Football on Twitter and at those email addresses Rick likes to talk about so much. Until Thursday, we'll see you.
Take care.
We'll light us up if it's a good song. A little liver skin got you singing along. Pouring gasoline on the Hollywood. A little too much will make it burn. Just to let him know what you're thinking about him and life.